Hello, and welcome to your audio insight on how to put meaning back into life in 2 hours a week from hypnosisdownloads.com. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and we know that a sense of connection to the world and other people has long been known to make us feel alive, calmer, and also that reality is meaningful. Now, my colleague Mark Tyrrell and I are really interested in the differences between the left and right hemispheres of the brain in terms of how they relate to the world. We even recently travelled to the Isle of Skye on the west coast of Scotland to visit the renowned world expert on brain hemispheric differences, Dr. Ian McGilchrist, who wrote the best-selling book The Master and His Emissary. Now, it's true to say that the two sides of your brain do many of the same things, but they do them in different ways. So perhaps the picture of left-right brain differences isn't as clear-cut as some people once thought. What is clear is that the difference is not in what the two hemispheres do, but in how they do it. One general difference between left and right hemispheric function is that the left hemisphere deals in narrowed down detail and likes to break reality down into parts and into models. It's also more comfortable with routine and what's already known. The right hemisphere is more concerned with what's fresh and new. It likes fresh experiences, the unexpected, a break from the routine. The right hemisphere is better at negotiating wider contexts and perspectives, in other words, the bigger picture. Unlike the left hemisphere, it's not interested in bureaucratic process or fractionation of reality. The right hemisphere deals in meaning and wonder and fresh aliveness. What's more, it seems our environments reflect hemispheric input. In other words, a cityscape with little greenery or colour but many straight lines and a good deal of rigid regularity would reflect the straight-line thinking of the left hemisphere, whereas florid natural settings with colour and contour and life would appear more to the right hemisphere. Much older architecture reflected nature in its design and might therefore have appealed more to both sides of the brain in balance. But anyway, I'm getting a bit off topic there, and getting off topic is not what the left hemisphere likes to do. My point is that unless we nurture both sides of the brain, which, to put it in a less rigid, more alive way, means both parts of ourselves, we can begin to suffer. For example, never seeing or experiencing the organic, dynamic beauty of the natural world can deplete us and make life begin to feel meaningless and sterile. Staring at computer screens, living in an urban environment, having deadlines and focusing on detail, none of this is necessarily bad or unhealthy, up to a point. But if that's all we have, then pretty soon, because this is a left brain kind of world, and the left brain doesn't deal in wider meaning or a sense of aliveness, we can start to feel that life has lost its spark, or that we have lost our spark. What's more, a great deal of research seems to back this up. Not only do people report feeling calmer, happier and healthier during and after being in nature, but being in a beautiful outdoor place can even affect improvements in physiological measures such as blood pressure and immunity. In Japan, there has been a movement since the 1980s called Shinrin-yoku, which translates to forest bathing. Health professionals literally prescribe time spent within a beautiful forest, both as a preventative medicine and to help in mental and physical healing. I suspect that the mind and body balancing effects of being in nature have been understood for a long time. Recent research at the University of Exeter has gotten really specific, thank you left brain, and found that in order to reap these benefits, the optimum amount of time to spend in nature is 2 hours a week. People who spend at least 120 minutes in nature per week were significantly more likely to report good health and higher psychological well-being than those who didn't visit nature at all during an average week. But interestingly, no such benefits were found for people who visited natural settings, such as town parks, woodlands, country parks, and beaches, for less than 120 minutes a week. The study used data from nearly 20,000 people in England and found that it didn't matter whether the 120 minutes was achieved in a single visit or over several shorter visits. It also found that the two-hour threshold applied to both men and women, to older and younger adults, across different occupational and ethnic groups, among those living in both rich and poor areas, and even among people with long-term illnesses or disabilities. So no matter who you are, getting yourself out there in nature for no less than 2 hours a week will help you feel happier and healthier, mentally and even physically. Lead author Dr. Matt White of the University of Exeter Medical School said, and I'm quoting now, "It's well known that getting outdoors in nature can be good for people's health and well-being, but until now we've not been able to say how much is enough. The majority of nature visits in this research took place within just 2 miles of home, so even visiting local urban green spaces seems to be a good thing. 2 hours a week is hopefully a realistic target for many people, especially given that it can be spread over an entire week to get the benefit. Now, I'm lucky enough to live in a rural location, with great natural beauty all around, and even I can sometimes forget to take time in nature. But it does seem that you, I, and everyone should make time just 2 hours a week, either in one go or spread out over the week, to enjoy and benefit from green spaces." But there's something else really interesting. In another piece of research published in the Journal of Environmental Psychology, participants were exposed to photographic scenes of either nature or buildings. Only the nature scenes enhanced subjective vitality. The point is, people seem to benefit even when they see still images of nature. I wonder whether they benefit even more from watching video of nature than from simply seeing still pictures. So if you can't get out in nature for 2 hours a week and engage the right hemisphere of your brain in all its instinctive natural perceptions that are designed for these environments, then maybe the next best thing is looking at pictures of nature or watching nature films. Or maybe, just maybe, using self-hypnosis to revivify your mind and body by imagining times in nature. You could take maybe 20 minutes to close your eyes and simply recall the colours and sounds and smells and atmosphere of some beautiful place you've been or would like to go to. Or you could build a wondrous natural fantasy place in your mind and take a little hypnotic walk within this beautiful place. You could even use a hypnosis audio as a guide. We produced one called Harmony with Nature, which is around 20 minutes long. I'd love to compare the benefits of relaxing in nature hypnotically versus actually being in nature. I suspect it would compare pretty well, but then again, there's nothing quite like a walk in the countryside. So I hope you found this interesting and useful, and to listen to other audio insights, you can check out the hypnosisdownloads.com members section, The Growth Zone. Members get access to all the sessions on the site, plus exclusive members-only sessions, and all archived audio insights. To find out more, just go to hypnosisdownloads.com and click on the Join Us link. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and thank you for listening.